Good evening, church. You know, we just pray for God's kingdom to come. God's kingdom is characterized by two things, justice and righteousness. But if I ask you, what do you think justice look like? Try to think, what does that look like? What I did this week is I do a Google search. What is justice? And then I saw a few images, and one repeatedly pop up. It's a statue of a woman. You probably see this before. A woman with her eyes blindfolded, holding a scale in her hand. There is a few assumptions for this type of justice. First of all, it's very much focused on individual rights. It means I want to make sure if someone do what is wrong, then he got his judgment or punishment. If someone do what is right, they should get reward or being acquitted in a trial. So this type of justice is mainly focused on procedure. It should be fair. Everyone should have a fair chance to have their case being pleaded into court. Everyone should be judged not because of their background, whether they are powerful, whether they are white or black or yellow, whether they are rich or poor. It's based on what you do. Your conducts determine your future. But then, if this is the justice we are trying to strive for, then I would think there should be no more injustices in the world. And also, the more developed a country is, the more sophisticated the legal system is, there should be no injustice. What do I mean by that? Think of countries like Norway, Germany, Japan. They have a very sophisticated legal system. If I say in those countries, prison, everybody that's in prison deserves to be there. They did something wrong. And everyone outside of the prison, they are innocent, they are righteous people. Do you agree with me? Probably not. The reality is showing us this type of justice is flawed. We have a dilemma here. On the one hand, we try our best to create a great legal system, to try to create a fair trial, to try to make sure everyone has an opportunity to flourish. We want to give everybody equal chance to pursue their dreams, their jobs, wealth, health. But then in reality, we find out that despite how hard we try, injustices is everywhere. So what should we do? How do we really bring justice into the world? Last week, we learned about God. He cares about justice and he has the power to deliver it. But look at the world now. Where is justice? What kind of justice is God bringing us? In fact, if you think carefully, Jesus himself suffers injustice, right? He's crucified after an unfair trial. Today, I only have time to go through three aspects of how his trial is unfair. First, did you notice Jesus' trial was conducted at night? This is illegal. Even nowadays, no case should be conducted at night. It's always during the day, because that allows the public to scrutinize the trial. But Jesus was arrested when he's praying in Gethsemane at night. And immediately he's being sent to Annas and then Caiaphas, the high priest at that time, and the Sanhedrin. And then the entire trial was conducted at midnight. So it's not fair because no trial, according to Jewish law, should be conducted at night. Second, witnesses. If you want to convict somebody, you need to have at least two or more witnesses according to Jewish law. How many do we have in Jesus' trial? None. And then the Sanhedrin tried to find some witnesses to come for this trial, but none of them is able to give the same version of facts, conflicting witness statements in Jesus' trial. The third thing, Jesus was not even convicted, but he's being crucified. Why do I say that? Do you remember when the Jewish leader brought him to Pilate, to the Roman governor, and say, oh, we want you to crucify him. And then Pilate obviously need to look at the evidence and see whether he has the ground to crucify Jesus. And he said something. I found nothing wrong with this man. So he does not even have a conviction. He should be let go freely. But then Pilate did not act on what he found. Instead, he appeased the Jewish leaders and decided to give them what they want. It's not fair. if Jesus is the one who bring in the kingdom of God, which is characterized by justice and righteousness, then what went wrong? Didn't Jesus say, I have 12 legions of angels standing by to help me? So come down right now, write the trial, show us justice in your own trial. But Jesus didn't do that. That's why he is actually showing us a justice that is very different from what we expect, very different from the picture that I found on Google. In order to understand what kind of justice Jesus is bringing, we have to go back to the life of Jesus. Look at what he do, look at what he say. So we first go back to Luke 4:17. Here is recorded the first sermon of Jesus. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it was written. Here is Jesus' definition of what a kingdom of justice looks like. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Think about what you just heard. What does that justice sound like? Did you notice Jesus defined his mission in terms of bringing justice to the poor, to the oppressed? This is very different from the Lady's Justice version of the justice. The Google version of justice focuses on individual rights. But Jesus is not focusing on the individual rights. The underlying assumption for Jesus' justice is a society that should be restored to what it intended to be, how God originally created it to be. And so when Jesus talked about justice, he's taking a look at the society and see some people falling through the cracks. And he's saying, look at those people, and I want you to seek them out and to protect them. So if we say Lady Justice have her eyes blindfolded and only care about individual rights, Jesus wants you to have your eyes wide open and seek out for those who are being oppressed in the system and seek them and restore them. It's a very different type of justice that actually sounds like partiality to a specific group of people. And this specific group of people in the Old Testament is always referred to as the widow, the orphan, and the aliens. This group of people shares some common characteristics. First of all, they are always poor. Why? These three types of people, they have no resources. They can only rely on other people to help them. But usually the case is there's no help. No human being is willing to help them. And so that's why in Jesus' time, there's always the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the aliens among the people of Israel. And Jesus say, I want you to pay attention to these people. God sides with the poor and the weak because he wanted to secure greater equity in the society. So you see, this is a very different type of justice as we just saw from Google. One is saying everybody should be treated the same way. But Jesus said, no, pay attention to the weaker member in the society. His version of justice is very different. It's about showing preferential treatment. Precisely because God is just, he needs to show this preferential treatment because of the imbalance of power in this world. If we just treat everyone the same way, there's always people falling through the cracks. And Jesus saw that problem, and he needed to right the wrong by seeking out those that fallen through. And he wanted to go seek them out and restore them. This is a very different type of justice that Jesus is bringing into the world. And I also found out in the Bible, this close connection between justice and special concern for the needy is repeated time and time again. Can you imagine how many times this concept is being repeated in the Bible? This twin factor. Over 2,000 times. Over 2,000 times. In the Old Testament, I found a place where it's phenomenal when these two concepts are brought together. It's in the revelation of God's own character. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Something familiar, the same group of people, fatherless, that is the orphans, widows, sojourners, that's aliens, the foreigners, they are always poor, they are always vulnerable, they are always without resources. See, this passage is Moses telling the people of God Israel, this is the God that saved us from Egypt. This is the God who brings us into the promised land. And I want to let you know what his character is like. Let's think about if your friend asks you, why do you go to church? Who is the God that you are serving? Then we can probably think of, our God is a God of love, right? How many of you will immediately say, oh, God is a God of justice. He executes justice for the fatherless and widow. We seldom have this idea in mind. But among all the things that Moses can teach the Israelites, he said, God is a person who executes justice for the fatherless. And it's even said before the love thing, right? And when I'm reading this passage, I find another amazing discovery. Is the interconnection between justice and love. Any of you ever thought about justice and love are two separate concepts? They are very different, two types of characteristics of God, very separate from one another. But in this passage, I found that there is a very, very close connection between executes justice and love. If you look at in the Old Testament, they always use a style called the parallel writing. Parallel writing can be two lines in parallel to one another. Sometimes they convey the same meaning. Sometimes they convey different meaning, contradictory. But in that verse, I find out they are conveying the same meaning. Look carefully. The first line is that God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. The second line is he loves the sojourner. When you compare these two lines even more carefully, bear with me, I am a word geek, so I always pay very close attention to what the text is showing me. First of all, who is doing the action? In both cases, God. God executes justice. God loves. Who's the recipient of the action? Pay attention, fatherless, widow, sojourner. These three, they fall into the same group. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, these three are always mentioned together. They fall into the same group. This hints, tell me this line is an identical parallel. They are conveying the same meaning. If that's the case, executes justice, parallel loves. They are the same thing. Or another way to put it, executes justice is the hand and feet of love. Justice expresses love. They are that closely connected. The justice to God is inseparable from caring for the weaker member. And here we can even see the love of God and his justice are so intertwined. They are almost identical. One expressed the other. And so here, you may think, oh, execute justice for the fatherless. What are we supposed to do? Because the orphans, if I want to right the wrong, I better sue the parents for child abuse. They gave up their child. That's how I can right the wrong and execute justice, right? But in this verse, it said, giving him food and clothing. As simple as that. The way to execute justice, the way to love is to give him food and clothing. That sounds like donation, isn't it? But that's the way God's justice is being shown. It's mercy and compassion. That's the way to execute justice. And so his justice is inseparable from the caring for the weaker member of the society. And within that, there is compassion and mercy. It's inherent in God's character. So let me summarize what justice means to God. It means more than punishing the wrongdoing. It means protecting and care for the weak and the needy. And it means giving people their rights, their dignity, and restore them back to a society that God intended it to be. And more importantly, justice expresses love. God is telling us love is not love. If that love has no passion for justice, you cannot claim to love somebody without being concerned that justice is done to them. And so God is calling us to a love that actually have justice as the hand and feet in its manifestation. And this is the type of justice that God intends for us. And he is asking us to cultivate this type of justice and love, and what I call just love. Last week, we talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me ask you, do you remember why God destroyed them? Sexual immorality. That's an easy answer, right? And they are also, Pastor Carson said, they are evil. Evil in what ways? Do you want to know why God punished them? God said through the prophet of Ezekiel, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it." Is there anything that catches your eye that you probably didn't think about when you first think of why God is so mad at Sodom? I highlight it for you. He's mad at them because these people, they have plenty, but they ignore the poor and the needy. That becomes the ground for God's judgment. You may say, Sodom and Gomorrah, they are evil. They deserve to be judged. What about the people of God? If we ignore the poor and the needy, will God judge us? During Isaiah's time, the prophet Isaiah's time, the people of Israelites, they are pious. If you just look at what their week looked like, they go to the temple regularly. Their offerings are generous. They even fast. Have any of you tried fasting? That's tough. So if someone practices fasting, that means they are very pious. That's the Israelites at Isaiah's time. And so they have all these religious practices. But God does not delight in their worship. In Isaiah 58:3, the people ask God, "Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it?" Despite all their pious religious activities, God is not answering them. It's almost like we come to church every week, we tithe at least 10% pre-tax income, and we do our daily devotional, we pray without ceasing. But God, why aren't you answering us? Because God wants to tell us what genuine worship looks like. In the same chapter, Isaiah 58, 6 to 7, God said, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? True religion, what is true worship to God? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." And also in verse 7, "Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood." The same justice language again. True worship looks like this. It's the biblical justice language and it's expressed itself in love, in compassion, in mercy. We may think that we never intend to harm anyone, and I never try to exploit anyone in my life. So is God happy? Is God satisfied with my worship? But then we will be guilty if our lives are structured in a way that's based upon the exploitation of others. I was checking on the news to see what's going on in our today's convenient, comfortable, affordable life, and I find something very stressing. Do you like to have food delivery whenever you want? This convenience in food delivery is built on many hours of delivery workers working under the minimum wage. And also, do you update your wardrobe regularly? Because the clothes are so affordable now from the fast fashion giants. Do you know that these affordable purchases is built on inhumane work conditions and sometimes forced labor in countries like Bangladesh? Have you ever bothered to check whether anyone is suffering to support our lifestyle? I urge you to know God's justice and love is two sides of the same coin. Justice is the external expression of love. A just love will pay particular attention to the most vulnerable member in our society. So I hope that your thinking about justice is no longer defined by Google, defined by culture, but defined by what the Bible tells us. I have prepared a list of Bible verses in my sermon notes. So I really encourage you after this sermon to go to those verses, use them for your meditation, use them for your daily devotional. So your thinking about justice will be slowly transformed by the Word of God. I always think, what does it look like if the entire world or the entire church is able to embody this type of just love to the world? Imagine what the world would look like if the body of Christ all over the world minister to those who are at subsistence level and ministers to those who lost hope. So I start to think about, what about our church? Are we embodying this type of biblical justice in this city, in this community? My immediate thoughts go to the Reaching Out Generosity campaign. But as I do more research, I realize the money goes to organizations that actually help the weakest member in our community. I want to show you some of the findings I have. One of them that we donated is the United Nations Refugee Agency. They go help the refugees, the rising, increasing refugee problem around the world. Another organization we support is Compassion Canada, and they try to alleviate poverty by supporting children and third world countries, trying to lift them out of poverty by education. Another one is Union Gospel Mission. They go to Vancouver downtown Eastside to help the homeless and help them to restore them back into community. When I look at what these organizations are doing, I remember Jesus again. In Jesus' unfair trial, he has the power to right the justice immediately, but he did not do so. The reason why he walked through that path of injustice is so that he can tell people who are suffering under injustice, I know how you feel because I've been there. When we rethink the life of Jesus, he's born into a very poor family. At birth, he became a refugee. He needed to go all the way to Egypt. And also, Jesus is a homeless. When someone asked Jesus, I want to follow you, Jesus said, you sure? I don't even have a place to lay my head. Jesus identifies with the people that's helped by Union Gospel Mission, by Compassion Canada. So I'm thinking a challenge for us, not only to join the May Generosity campaign once a year. Go check out what these organizations are doing. If the Spirit moves you, consider signing up to be their volunteer, or even a smaller step. Think about signing up for their newsletter so you have a constant reminder of what people are going through in our community. Who are the people that fall through the cracks in this apparently beautiful Colombia? God is not neutral in this cruel world. He already shows us his justice requires him to take side, and that is the side of the oppressed, in order to protect those who fall through the cracks. His justice is an expression of his love to us. Please join me in standing to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you hear the cries of everyone who's calling from the place of hopelessness and helplessness, and you move the body of Christ to respond to them. How often we talk about your love without realizing justice is your way to show love to the needy. I pray that you will transform our thinking of what justice means and move us to execute justice for the least among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.